Hebrews chapter 4 is where we're going to be reading from today. We're going to get into the topic, Godfident prayer to live by. Anybody want to pray Godfident type of prayers? That's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to do some highlights from the brand new book, Godfidence, Real Faith in Tough Times. And we're going to focus on chapter 6 a little bit today, real prayer. We're not going to talk today about prayers that barely reach the ceiling. How many know that God wants us to pray powerful prayers? Amen? God wants us to pray with Godfidence. That is so, so important. So today, I want to encourage you to pray with Godfidence. It's so vitally important. And so in Hebrews chapter 4, we're going to read from that and just read there in just a minute. But one of the things that intrigues me is when children lift up their prayers to the Lord. And sometimes it's a little bit unique in what they say. For example, I get a kick out of this one. One child says, "Lord, please make my parents understand that if I don't eat salad, I do better at school." Another child says, "Lord, please forgive me for hiding my sister's favorite doll, and please don't tell her where it is." There's another child who says, "Dear God, I need you to make my mom not allergic to cats. I really want a cat, and I really don't want to ask my mom to move out." Okay. How about this one? "Dear God, can you get me a smartphone because Santa forgot?" Here's another one. "Dear God, when will my sister stop being annoying? I'm down to my last patience." Here's one more. "Dear God, I hope my dog is with you in heaven. Please take care of him. Sorry if he chews on your sandals." Okay. Today, we're going to learn about Godfident prayer from Hebrews chapter 4 is where we're going to start. By the way, for those of you who want to take notes, there are some notes on your seats here in the worship center. Those of you on the live stream, welcome. You are welcome to go to the YouVersion Bible app and go to More and then Events, and you can see all the notes for today's message there on the YouVersion Bible app. So Hebrews 4:16. Says this, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace." What does it mean to approach God's throne of grace? That means prayer. Let us approach God's throne of grace. And then it says with this, with confidence. Now, what have we been talking about the last few weeks? And what is this book, Godfidence, all about? It's all about how there are so many people in our world today that have confidence in themselves, or perhaps they have confidence in their bank account, or they have confidence in their career, or their accolades, or their degrees, or their abilities. But what do you say, what word do you use when somebody has their primary confidence in God? As you know, I couldn't find a word, so I made one up myself, and that's Godfidence. So that's what we're talking about. So when we read Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace." In other words, how do we pray? With Godfidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Father God, thank you that we are blessed to be in your presence. As we get into the teaching of your word, we pray that your word would come alive to us. We thank you that we are privileged to be in your house. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. A few weeks ago, I was praying and asking the Lord for something special for the church because I was getting a little antsy, a little tired of not being able to do a lot of outreach because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Does anybody know what we're talking about here? And you know, I said, "Lord, we haven't done much outreach. I mean, even I know we do a monthly basis the Eastside outreach, but even those have been postponed. By the way, we are doing one the Saturday before Thanksgiving. We'll tell you more about that. I noticed that just we haven't been doing. I was just getting antsy. What can we do, Lord? Could you give us an opportunity to do something for our community, an outreach project?" Literally about 2-3 days later, I get a call from somebody saying, "Would you like to do an outreach project?" I said, "Okay, what's it about?" And how many know whenever God answers your prayer, we shouldn't be surprised, right? If that's what I was praying for, and he says, "Well, we have a farmers to family thing, and we can bring an 18-wheeler filled with 1,152 boxes of food, groceries for people for you to give away to your community." And I thought, there's the outreach project. How many know God answers prayer? Amen. So I said, okay, give me some details. We went through some details. We set the date, October 17th. We had it yesterday. As Pastor Randy Sean said, we had a fantastic time. It was just a tremendous time. So good that we're going to do it again, not this Saturday, but the following Saturday, the 31st. This Saturday is Man Up. Amen. The following Saturday is the Farmers to Families Outreach again. We're going to get another 1,152 boxes of food to give away to our community, free groceries. And it was amazing. I was walking around to see how things were doing or going. And for a little while, I got a chance to a few times to kind of be there with some of you guys who were loading up the boxes. And I got a chance to talk to a few people. And it was amazing. One lady was crying and crying when she was picking up and we were loading up her groceries in her vehicle. She was saying this: I was praying to God to provide some food today, and God answered my prayer. Wow. So that's what she was praying. And one man said, what you are doing for the people in our community is amazing. One lady was crying. I don't know why these ladies were crying, but anyway, she was crying. She says, this is such a blessing. Can I get another box to give to my neighbor? We said, yeah, let's do that, giving them an opportunity to bless their neighbor. I asked one man, how did you hear about about the grocery giveaway here? How did you hear about it? He says, well, I was driving by on Prue Road, saw a whole bunch of cars turning in, so I just turned in with them. So he drove away with a box of groceries. That's what he told me. I don't know if he was serious or not. That's what he told me, okay? To every car that came through, we gave him a little, we gave him some gospel tracts, an invite to Fortress Church. We spoke words of life over them, prayed over them, and just ministered to them. Thank you, Fortress Church. It was probably one of the biggest outreach events we've ever had. And thanks to you, it was a tremendous success. What I'm saying is each one of you were an answer to prayer. You were an answer to prayer. Godfident prayer. So I have a few questions as we talk about prayer, because I'm telling you, as we start today, that was an answer to prayer. How can we approach God's throne of grace? And the answer is very simple, that we just read from Hebrews 4:16, with confidence. Once again, let us then approach God's throne of grace. How? With confidence. But once again, when we use confidence in God, another way to say that is Godfident, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Another question: how is it possible to enter God's presence with Godfident? Here's the answer: by the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 10:19 says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place, how? By the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us. That's how we can approach God's throne and with Godfidence by the blood of Jesus. Question: what happens when we pray Godfidently? Well, here's the answer. He hears us. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 tells us this: and this is the Godfidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And this is the confidence, once again, when our confidence is in God. Another way to say that is confidence, that if we ask anything, now here's the key words: according to his will, he hears us. Aren't you glad that the Lord hears us? So we pray from our heart, God hears us. You are never too young, you're never too old to lift up a prayer confidently and believe in a big God. A few weeks ago, 8-year-old Isaiah Macias was seeking the Lord in one of worship services. Hi, Isaiah. All right. He's right over there. And as he was praying, he wrote something down. And after church, he gave it to me. And he said, the Lord was speaking to me as we were praying, as we were worshiping. And here's what he said. I wrote it down. He says, he, speaking about the Lord, will take us and he will take everyone. But those who do not believe in him will stay. And the people that are with God are going to see God defeat the enemy, because God is powerful. Amen. How many of you believe God is powerful? Amen. Yes. And God can speak to a young man like Isaiah over here. He's only 8 years old, and God is already speaking to him to give us words of life and words of encouragement straight from the throne of God. Question: what must we have to approach God? What must we have to approach God with confidence? And the answer is this: faith. Ephesians 3:12 says, in him and through him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. in him and through faith in him. That's what we must have. We must have faith in God. And when we have that faith in God, that is, once again, Godfidence. So let's take a look at a few stories in the Bible of individuals who prayed Godfidently. And actually, we're going to start off with an illustration of how sometimes we don't have Godfidence when we pray. First one, here's lesson number one. We learn Godfident prayer is a result of big faith. Somebody say big faith. Godfident prayer is a result of big faith. Matthew 17, if you have your Bibles, we're going to turn here and we're going to see how how the disciples at first did not have Godfidence. Okay, let's read it. Verse 14, Matthew 17. Listen to this story. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. Uh-oh, did you catch that? This man who is dealing with this issue with his son, I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't heal him. So what did Jesus say? Verse 17, you unbelieving and perverse generation. Jesus didn't have kind words to those who have a little bit of faith, okay? How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment. Amen? Anybody here believe that Jesus has power over any demon that manifests himself? All right? And verse 19, then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? Well, why do you think? Here's Jesus' response. Verse 20, he replied, because you have so little faith. Truly I tell you, if you have the faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Anybody believe that? Nothing will be impossible for you. What was the problem here? The disciples didn't have much faith. So they weren't able to see this miracle happen. So the premise is this. Godfident prayer is a result of big faith. Somebody say big faith. Somebody say, I have big faith. Anybody here have big faith? Not the faith of these disciples who didn't have power to cast out this demon. We're talking about big faith in a big God. And when we have that, we can pray with Godfidence. Do you pray with Godfidence? Can I give you another example in Joshua chapter 10 about praying with Godfidence? You see, Joshua is leading the people of God in a battle. He leads his people of God, and there he is leading the battle. He's winning, but something is happening. He's on his way to finalizing his victory over the enemy. But the problem is the sun is about to go down, and he realizes, I need a few more hours to take care of these guys. I need a few more hours. The problem is when the sun goes down, we have to stop fighting because we don't have the sunlight to continue this battle. So what does Joshua do? Talk about big faith. Talk about a huge ask. You know what he does? He asks God to hold the sun and the moon in the sky. Wow. So that they will have enough sunlight to finish off their enemy. How many know that's a big ask? Huge, but he had Godfidence. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Some people have it, some people don't. Read with me in chapter 10 of Joshua, verse number 12. On that day, the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel. Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, sun, stand still over Gibeon, and you, moon, over the valley of Ajalon. So the sun, verse 13, so the sun stood still. Wow. And the moon stopped till the nation avenged itself on the enemies. As it is written in the book of Jehar, the sun stopped in the middle of the day and delayed going down about a full day. Wow. Isn't that amazing? I don't know about you, but, you know, would you be able to say, God, could you just hold the sun out there for about a day? I got some business to take care of. I got the enemy to take care of. That's the kind of Godfidence that Joshua had. Anybody want that kind of Godfidence? That's what we're talking about. Godfident prayer to live by. Here's a Godfidence lesson. Praying with Godfidence makes the impossible possible. Lesson number two. Godfidence comes as a result of an intentional prayer life. What do we mean by an intentional prayer life? Well, I'm talking about how sometimes there's some people who don't have an intentional prayer life. If they have a need, they'll pray. Oh, God, I have this need. Oh, God, would you provide a new job for me? There's nothing wrong with doing that. And then God provides a job for them. The next time God hears from this individual is like 3 months later. How many know that's not praying intentionally? It's like here and there. No. God wants us to have a daily talk with him. We're talking about intentional prayer. And there are those who have consistent daily conversations with God. In the Old Testament, one of the pictures that we are given of those who make a choice to have intentional prayer is this. They build an altar. And you read about this so many times in the Old Testament. So I want to walk through about seven or so reasons why those individuals, great men and women of God, built an altar. Because you and I need to build an altar as well. First of all, letter A. Noah built an altar to present a sacrifice to God. Genesis 8:20 says, then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. So first of all, what did Noah do? What was the purpose of Noah building an altar? Because he wanted to present a sacrifice to God. See, one of the primary purposes they built in the Old Testament altars was to make animal sacrifices for God so that their sins could be forgiven. So oftentimes they would build an altar and they would sacrifice an animal. Now, how many of you are glad today we don't have to build an altar for that purpose? Amen? Because something happened on the day that Jesus died. Jesus is referred to as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And ever since Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, you and I no longer have to sacrifice any animals so that our sins could be forgiven because of what Jesus did. Anybody glad for what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary? Amen? Praise God for that. Now, here's the deal, though. Sometimes we do need to pray and offer to God a sacrifice. An example of that is sometimes when some of us pray, we oftentimes fast along with our prayer. And when we do that, that's kind of making a little sacrifice. Well, sometimes, once again, we do need to make a sacrifice unto the Lord. So we build an altar for many reasons. Once again, we're talking about building an altar because we're establishing intentional prayer. It can be, for some of you, you have a strategic physical altar. Great. It doesn't have to be a specific physical place, but it can be a place next to your bed. It could be as you're driving in the car. It could be maybe when you're taking a break at work. You can build an altar. In other words, you can have quality time of prayer pretty much just about anywhere, okay? So that's what I'm talking about when I say build an altar. Letter B. Abraham built an altar to receive the promises of God. Genesis 12:7 says this, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. What a great promise. So what did Abraham do? He says, so he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. He built an altar right there to receive the promises of God. Anybody want to receive the promises of God? Amen. What can we do? We build an altar. We say, Lord, I receive your promises. Letter C. Isaac built an altar to call on God. We read about this in Genesis 26:25, where it says, Isaac built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. He built an altar and called on the name of the Lord. Sometimes we just need to build an altar to call on God. We just need to establish a time of prayer so that we can call upon God. One of the things I love is our Thursday night prayer. We do it here at Fortress Church in room 201 and also on Zoom. This past week we were praying, and we, you know, one of the things that we prayed about as God led us to pray was for our children and our teenagers. Starting from the time that babies are in the womb of their mother, we know that the enemy is out to destroy the babies, our children, and our teenagers. Anybody notice that? And the enemy is out to steal, kill, and to destroy. We prayed against the enemy's tactics to come against our young people, our teenagers, starting when they're in our womb. We prayed against abortion. We prayed for the sanctity of life. Because how many know God is the author of life? And then as children grow up nowadays, the children are susceptible to so many influences that I was not, exposed to when I was a child or a teenager. And we need to pray for our children and teens. Do I hear an amen for that? What I'm saying is Isaac built an altar to call on God. That's what we can do. Just call on God. God, we need you. Letter D, Moses built an altar to celebrate a victory. Exodus 17, verse 13. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Moses, verse 15, built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." Another word for that is Jehovah Nisi. God gave God's people victory. Joshua was a victorious champion. Moses said, well, let's build an altar. Let's call it Jehovah Nisi, the Lord is my banner. How many know when God gives you victory, we need to build an altar and pray and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the victory. Thank you for all that you've done in my life. Amen. Let's go to another one, letter F. We are in letter E. Joshua built an altar to bless the people. Joshua 8:30. Joshua built an altar to bless the people. Then Joshua, scripture says, built on Mount Ebal an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel. Verse 34, as Moses, a servant of the Lord, had formerly commanded when he gave instructions to bless the people of Israel. So why did Joshua build an altar here in Joshua 8:30? To bless the people, to speak life over the people, and also to speak blessings over those who come against them. How do you know you can speak blessing and life over those who you want, your friends, your family, your children, and all that? Praise God for that. How many know we need to speak life and blessing? Amen. But sometimes we need to speak life and blessing over the enemies as well. You know, sometimes the enemy comes against us. Wouldn't it be great? You see, our first response when somebody pushes our buttons or somebody stabs us in the back, our first response is to retaliate. Wouldn't it be great if we were to build an altar and pray and say, Lord, would you bless this guy who did me wrong? I mean, no, that's a godly thing to do. So that's what Joshua did. He built an altar to bless others. Letter F. Samuel built an altar to ask God for leadership help. 1 Samuel 7:15. Scripture says, Samuel continued as Israel's leaders all the days of his life. From year to year, he went on a circuit from Bethel to Gilgal to Mizpah, judging Israel in all those places. That was his job. But he always went back to Ramah, where his home was, and there he also had a court, held court for Israel, and he built an altar there to the Lord. He built an altar there. Why? Because that's where he was called to lead as a judge. And if he was called to lead as a judge there in Ramah, he said, I'm going to build an altar. I need God's intervention as a leader for this place. How many know it's great to call on God when you're in leadership? One more example of building an altar, the letter G. David built an altar to present his special request to God. Many of us need to do that. You have a special request to God, build an altar. What do I mean by that? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Present your petition to God and leave it there. Don't worry about it. A lot of people, they pray and they walk away still carrying that burden. In other words, they haven't given it to God. If you pray and give it to God and still worry, you really haven't given it to God. But if you pray and give it to God and you walk away, you're not worried about it, God, it's in your hands, then you have prayed God-fidently. Are you noticing the difference here? Noticing the difference. So in 2 Samuel 24, that's what David did. He had a special request. There was a famine in the land. There was a plague in Israel. And David built an altar to pray that that plague would come to a close. Scripture says, 2 Samuel 24:25, David built an altar to the Lord there and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. Then the Lord answered his prayer in behalf of the land, and the plague of Israel was stopped. Are you noticing that God answers prayer? God answers prayer. Number three, confident prayer always trusts the will of God. Earlier we read that scripture that says when we pray according to the will of God. That's so important. Have you ever prayed a prayer that was not in the will of God? And maybe you've gotten frustrated because, God, why didn't you answer my prayer? Well, the answer is because it was not in the will of God, okay? But sometimes we get upset, even at God. God, I don't understand it. Why didn't you answer my prayer? I asked for it. Sometimes we go to God and say, Lord, I need this, and I need that, and I need this other thing, and I need this other thing. Oh, by Tuesday at 3 o'clock, I need this. We act like God's some sort of Santa Claus. Can we pray instead, God, if it's your will, would you do this? Sometimes we have trouble in our workplace, and sometimes we say, oh, Lord, give me a new job. Could you think that maybe God is improving your character because someone in your workplace is rubbing you the wrong way? Could it be that God does not want to give you a new job because he's building your character, or maybe because you're the only light in that dark place? But sometimes we pray, oh, Lord, give me a new job. But maybe that's not God's will. Maybe you're exactly where you need to be. You understand? So we got to pray in God's will. An example of this is Jesus. You know the story. And when he prays in the Garden of Gethsemane, right before he goes to be taken, to be crucified, Matthew 26, 39, Jesus bows down and prays. And he fell to his face, with his face to the ground, Scripture says. And he says, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. What is he praying? Father, I don't want to do this, but Lord, I'm going to pray for your will. If this is your will, then do it. That's the way we need to pray. And confident prayer always trusts in the will of God. We're not pushing ourselves to the point to say, God, this is what I want. God, this is what needs to be done. No, instead, God, what is your will? And let me come into agreement with the will of God. How many know you're a whole lot better when you come into agreement with the will of God? Confidence lesson. Prayer connects you with the will of God and disconnects you with the influence of the world. Number four, confident prayer calls on the name of Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. I want you to understand that there's power in the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 3. Now here's a great story. A few minutes ago, we read how the disciples didn't have enough confidence to pray over this boy who was demonically possessed. But the good news is, later on, they now have confidence when they pray. Let's read what happens. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Where were they going? They were going to pray. Verse 2, now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those who were going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. He sure got something, right? Then Peter, verse 6, said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. Now listen to the way he prays. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. How did Peter and John pray? In the name of Jesus Christ. Did you notice that? Okay. Now wait a minute. Didn't we read earlier that they were afraid to even pray in the name of Jesus to cast out a demon? So here's the good news. For those individuals who previously did not have confidence, here's the good news. You can still have confidence from here on out. Peter and John now had confidence, and they didn't budge at all when they told they prayed in the name of Jesus. Jesus, and in your name, would you heal this man? What happens? Verse 7, taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly this man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who was used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what God, at what happened to him, at what had happened to him. Wow. Are you noticing that now Peter and John were praying confidently? Does anybody notice a difference when we pray confidently? Does anybody notice a difference when you pray in the name of Jesus? Somebody say Jesus. How many know there's power in the name of Jesus when we call upon the name of Jesus? Fill in the blank here. There is healing in the name of Jesus. We can receive miracles in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. I think we got it. My point is this. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is always the answer. In the world that we live in today, with some political upheaval and division in our nation, what is the answer? Jesus. Are you getting that? Jesus is always the answer. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there is no other. Jesus is the way. Matthew chapter 9. Let me give you one more Bible story about confidence. Here we find a story of a woman who was dealing with a sickness for 12 years. She had gone from doctor to doctor, and Scripture tells us that she was still dealing with this sickness. But she heard that someone was coming by. Does anybody know the name of that someone who's coming by? Jesus. And she thought to herself, if I could only touch the hem of his prayer shawl, of his tallit, of his garment. If I can only touch. Why? Because that prayer shawl that Jesus was wearing is a symbol of the power of God. And she knew with confidence, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I know that I will be healed. My friend, that is confidence. How many know what I'm talking about? She had seen doctor after doctor after doctor, and nothing was going right. But she had confidence in Dr. Jesus, all right? You know what I'm talking about? She had enough confidence to believe, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, then I know that I will be healed. So that's what happened. Jesus turned and saw her. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 9, verses 20, 21, and 22. He turned and saw her, and he says, take heart, daughter, your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed at that moment. Why did she receive her healing? I believe because she had confidence. She had confidence. I close with one more story. This one I put in chapter 6 of Godfidence book. And I love this story because it deals with prayer. A young lady asked her pastor to come to her home and pray over her father. When the pastor arrived, he found this elderly man who was sick, lying in bed with his head propped in two pillows, and then there was an empty chair beside his bed. The pastor assumed that the old fella had been informed of his visit. That's why the chair was there. I guess you were expecting me, the pastor said. No. The man said, who are you? I'm new. I'm the new pastor here at your local church. When I saw the empty chair, I figured that you knew that I was going to show up. Oh, yeah, the chair, the bedridden man said. I've never told anyone this, not even my daughter. All my life, I've really never known how to pray. Until one day, about 4 years ago, my best friend said to me, Joe, prayer is a simple matter of having a conversation with Jesus. Here's what I suggest. Sit down in a chair, place an empty chair in front of you, and in faith, see Jesus sitting on that chair, in faith. It's not spooky because he promised I'll be with you always. Then just speak to him and listen in the same way you're dealing with me right now. So I tried it, and I liked it so much that I do it a couple of hours every day. I'm careful, though. If my daughter saw me talking to an empty chair, she'd either have a nervous breakdown or send me off to the funny farm. The pastor is deeply moved by the story and spent some time praying with him. Two nights later, the daughter called the pastor to tell him that her daddy had died that afternoon. The pastor asked, did he seem to die in peace? Yes, when I left the house around 2 o'clock, the daughter said, he called me over to his bedside, told me one of his corny jokes, kissed me on the cheek. When I got back from the store an hour later, I found him dead. But there was something strange. Apparently, just before daddy died, he leaned over and he rested his head on the chair beside his bed. You see, and I love that story because there's a story of a man who had confidence that Jesus was right there by his side. So I ask you the question, when you pray, do you believe that Jesus is right there by your side? Because he is. But you need to have confidence in that. You need to have confidence in God that he's right there with you, that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Can we present our needs before the Lord today with confidence? Do you have an important decision coming up? Can you pray today with confidence and believe that the Lord will hear your prayer and lead you in the right direction? Perhaps there is someone dear to you who needs to come to faith in Jesus Christ. I challenge you, I encourage you to pray with confidence that this will happen. Are you dealing with a strained relationship with someone? It's time to pray with confidence for reconciliation. Are you dealing with a health issue? It's time to pray. And I'm not talking about any old prayer that won't even pass the ceiling. I'm talking about praying confidently that Jehovah Rapha, your healer, can heal you. Does anybody notice a difference in praying with confidence? Giving God a big ask. because we have big faith, or as we say, Godfidence. Would you stand with me? We're going to spend some time in prayer. Because of social distancing, I know it's sometimes it's a little difficult. I want us to prepare for a place of prayer. You can, those of you at your seats, you can spend some time there. Those of you at home when watching on the live stream, take some time to pray. We're not done yet today. If you do want to come to the altars, we're going to be social distancing. You're welcome to come. But you can build an altar right where you're at. You can come to the altars here. We can call on God because there's power in the name of Jesus. That's how we pray. Lord God Almighty, I come to you in the name of Jesus. We pray to God the Father in the name of Jesus. That was the pattern that Jesus gave us in Matthew 6. As we begin our time in prayer, perhaps you want to repeat after me. I have this prayer that I want to lift up to the Lord. Maybe you want to join with me. Repeat after me. Lord God Almighty, I come to you in the name of Jesus, the name above all names. I approach your throne of grace with confidence, knowing that you are all powerful. Today, I realize the importance of building an altar, a heart of prayer, so that I can call on you, give thanks, bless others, present my requests, receive your promises, build memories, and celebrate victories. Today, I am able to pray with confidence because I know that nothing is impossible for you. Nothing. May your kingdom come and may your will be done. Amen. So be it. Does anybody believe that? Can we give God some praise right now? Would you bow your head? Would you close your eyes? Some of you today need to ask God to forgive you of your sins. Now, I want to encourage you in this manner because there are some people who ask God to forgive them of their sins, and then what happens after that? They carry their burdens and they don't release it to God. 2 or 3 weeks later, the enemy is playing mind games with them and trying to convince them, oh, you really didn't surrender your life to the Lord. He really didn't forgive you of your sins. But when you pray with confidence, you will know that Jesus Christ has forgiven you of your sins. And your sins are cast as far as the east is from the west. That's what confident prayer can do. If you need to pray that prayer, this is your day. This is your opportunity to ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins. And with confidence, you can believe that your sins are forgiven. If that's you, would you raise your hand? To you, God, forgive me of my sins. Lord Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. Amen. Take some time to confess your sins, present it to God. Others of you have a need. Maybe it's a family need. Maybe it's a health need. Maybe it's a career need. Whatever it is, are you ready to pray with confidence and believe that you will step into God's will and with confidence he will see you through? Help you make the right decisions. For the next few minutes, we're going to find a place of prayer. For some of you, it may just be right there where you're at. Others of you may come forward. But we're going to take some time to seek God. We're not going to pray just any old cheap prayers. We're going to call on God with confidence. Would you join me as we do exactly that? Let's find a place of prayer.